Those that have just arrived or arrived late, they are not going to be given an opportunity to greet anyone. They lost the time. Sorry. I need to welcome all members that have managed. Can we be ordered, honorable members? Can we be ordered? Because the rapport started the meeting long ago. And we allowed ourselves some 5 minutes to allow members to find the address. And then eventually we found the address, and at least we should be able to start while we are awaiting others. Honorable members and the delegation from Home Affairs, and I think there are also from media. Yes. There is a dedicated representative of the media fraternity. Hey, I'm talking. So it's today, honorable members, I think we are receiving a briefing from Home Affairs on the expenditure performance for the fourth quarter 2015-16 and the first quarter of 2016-17. And the fourth quarter life relatively reflect almost annual report. Relatively. Yes. And that's what we are going to do today. And then the other issue that we'll be dealing with is to look at our annual operational plan of the committee, if we have time. But I think I just need to indicate that it looks like we have got a memorial service at 12 o'clock today. Then we don't have all the time. And we will have to move a little bit faster. And then from the Department of Home Affairs, we do have the DG, the Aplemi. Then we have got Dr. Mabuso, the DGG for Institutional Training and Support. Then we have got Olambi, the Chief Financial Officer. Then we have got Dr. Mkize, DDG Civic Service. And then Jackson McKay, DDG for Immigration Service. And I said that last night the certification has locked up some professor from Nigeria at the airport. And I hope that has been resolved. Then we have got Umme Mohoko, DDG Human Resources. And then we have got Umetose, I hope I pronounced it properly, Director for Monitoring and Evaluation. Then we have got Simons, Western Cape Provincial Manager in a new uniform. And then with a big smile for that. But he has complained that he only has one set. according to the principles that he's not allowed to have more than one, and I hope that he will keep it, and I wonder how he's going to take it to dry clean. He's just going to walk into dry clean and come out. Then we have got Semandiwane, the parliamentary liaison officer, is here as well. And then we have only three apologies. And then from Honorable Tope, Honorable Nkomo, and Honorable Kenya. I'm not sure about Honorable Hussein. I think we understand that he's on his way. But I thought that he's still contesting the mayorship in Entebbe this morning. And well, he knows best. Thanks, honorable members. Can we then allow the department then to start with the presentation? TG, if you are ready, you may proceed.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members. Sir, in the interest of time, we will try not to take much time as we have submitted the report, more especially on areas where we have achieved, to deal with the areas where we have not achieved. Yes, sir, as we have indicated, this is the last quarter of the 2016-17. However, we gave the overall at the end, which now will come at the time of the annual report. So, Chair, I'm not going to deal with the issues of vision, mission. Those strategic objectives are known. I'll just start with slide number 7. And we said that in the last quarter of 2015-16, we achieved 79%. And then what was not achieved was the 21%. Then in the slide following, it shows that for program 1, we had 23 planned targets, but then what was achieved was 19 and not achieved 4. And then in 3 weeks, we had 5 targets, achieved 4, 1 not. And then in immigration, including BMA, a plan was 14 and achieved 10 and 4 not. And then in total, we had 42 targets in the quarter. And then achieved 83, which gives us the other 79%. Then we also gave a split branch in terms of what were the deliverables as against the target, which was split. Both the times we have 3 or 4 deliverables against the target. So it's just splitting it per branch at this chair. Then what have been what the things that progressed that in that quarter, we're able to issue 683,000 smart cards.
Just a second, on your slide 9, let's see if I'm not getting the correct one. Yeah. Number 6. Why the annual target is 1, but the quarter 4 achieved 4? How do you achieve 4 out of 1?
Yes.
Not typographical stages.
Yes. Yeah, check is what I was explaining, that these are the deliverables. So in a target, you can have one target, but in order for you to achieve that target, you've got many deliverables. Like now, Minister must go to these roles, must issue communicate in the department and all that. So those deliverables now are building towards that one target. So that's why we can see that the deliverables might be, look like they are more than the annual target. So the target might be 1, but it needs 3 things to be done in order to achieve that. And then I think that 69 first issue, we issued within 54 working days, and 51,000 we issued within 47 days. And there have been improvements to image enhancement at the photo booth. And now that has caused now the regression rate to reduced. And then 154,098 machine readable passports were issued within 30 days. Then with regard to the biometrics, we continued with our pilot at Lanseria Airport, Kinshasa, here in Cape Town, and OR Tambo. So what that means now is that we started with one machine per port then. So then we are continuing now increasing the number until now we complete this airport. Everything has migrated now from a manual to an electronic application process in so far as the key targets are concerned, mainly temporal residence permits and permanent residence permits. So that's why now we are improving in our targets there, because now we are at an automated process. Printing data has improved through engagement with VFS and VHAS and IS team. The online VAS solution for TRS was implemented from June 2015, which has yielded a positive result in achieving these 2 targets. We have implemented a verification process for identity document applications for permanent residence holders, wherein the original PR certificate is issued with a verified copy attached to it. Actually, now our target now for this year, around this, we'll want now to have identity documents and passports now for refugees and all that be issued now on an electronic process. From 22nd March 2016 to date, the total number of 1.296 travelers went through our borders. compared with 2015 Easter period, there was an increase of about 0.32%. Net joint instructions were given to SAFs and DCs to assist in the, with the appointment of the poll coordinators and managers. Well, Chair, what were our challenges in the quarter, which we at the end go overall, is that in terms of birth registration targets were not fully achieved for this reason. Birth occurrences at health facilities after hours or weekends in holidays are not registered. And this is outside the official office hours and no deployment has been put in place. So we still look at the numbers, but there is a magic in it, we do not know. But we still have high beds during the weekend and after hours and holidays. It's like that, there's still a pattern. But yet, because of the issues now of us, of the working hours and the deploy staff, it's not an easy thing to say. If that is the issue, deploy them during that time and during the day is not is something which is not easy for us, but we are still dealing with it. Yes, there's still an issue of mothers who are not aware about the requirements. They will go to the hospital to complain them, they don't have an ID document, and then we can't register that child. But what we are looking at now going forward, something we want to work on now in this year, is to make sure that we can implement an online verification in the hospital, so that even if the mother doesn't have an ID document, as long as we can verify and then we know what that is, like what we are using now in the bank. Yes, there's still challenges of capacity in local offices and health facilities. Share this year when we received this with our budget for the current year, is that as a Home Affairs, there was this process of the department giving a ceiling. A ceiling means that you cannot exceed your salary out of this amount, irrespective whether I've got people or not. That has even caused us to be given a letter by Treasurer that we can't fill any position in the Department of Home Affairs in this year. If somebody resigns, is equal to that portion of it. So within the immigration environment, I think quarter 3 and 4 were both affected by the shifting officials from IDs to assist with administrative functions that were related to handover of RR functions from provinces to ASM head office. And so we are now centralizing the immigration responsibilities now to headquarters. Previously, the refugee reception center was reporting to civics, but now we're taking that functional back as a headquarters. So all the RROs now, the refugee center, whether it is in Eastern Cape, it is now reporting to headquarters. And Chair, the case which we have always been having around the closure of Western Cape, the refugee center, the court has ruled in our favor, that now we can proceed with the closing of that refugee reception office. So with Swati now will be trying to wind up and close fully now that this refugee center here in Cape Town. And the issue of recognizing resources and the workflow has become to show a marked improvement through output and turnaround times. That's what I was talking about here, you know, that the process of issuing identity and travel documents for refugees has been largely manual and slow. This is being addressed by moving now the function to the main skills services branch, where they will be processed using the same system as any other clients. So that's what I was saying now, that what we're doing now, that we're automating now our that system. So once now we are granted new hospitals in the refugee center, then after that, with that most we are equal to a citizen of this country except the right to vote. Now you'll be able to go to any office now and apply for your passport and for your ID. Because now the systems will be talking to each other. Then that is going to help us on the experience which we're having around that. And then one of the areas which we faced challenges is the area of appeals in regard to permits, whether it's a permanent residence or temporary residence permit. But now what we have an arrangement now that we no longer paying now for our people who are posted abroad. We have transferred amount from our baseline amount to DECO, and as well as DECO now is collecting the revenue and deposited in the revenue fund. So we have office which was called Foreign Office Coordination, which was solely dealing with that. So that because that we have done that, we'll be looking now at moving some people now from that area to go and help us now in the appeals section. But we still leave just a minimum number of people around that unit. So PRPs is at the level 6 job judges, they are not appointed adjudicators. PRP first level supervisor, PRP first and second levels of quality assurance. So now we're able now because of that to improve our quality now by implementing, because before we're just really pushing the numbers, but now we're able now to start putting these levels now of supervision. And the verification of permanent residence for naturalization is a challenge and delays naturalization process. It's still a matter for us, as we said, that we don't want to give people a naturalization without following a particular TARA process. Because we know now currently, before the law has been changed, once we finish 5 years, we're qualifying to be naturalized. But we still have to engage in a process of making sure that everything is done properly around that. As we know, issues which we are still even looking at of people who say now they are in South Africa, they are naturalized, and then we find that that process was not followed properly. So that has been bringing out the overall performance now for 50-60. In quarter one, which we have been reporting here per quarter, was 67, achieved 83 not, and then in the second quarter was 64, 36, then in quarter three was 72, 28, and quarter four, the one which we are reporting, was 79 to 21, but overall, this year we've achieved 78 against 22% not achieved. Comparing it with the previous financial year, we're at 78.80, and then now this year we're at 78.22. Yes, there is an improvement, but we're still wanting to get 100%. So, this is not yet finalized the audit, but you know, once the report can now come from Auditor General, we believe that they will confirm this achievement. And then we're coming now to the current budget, which is supporting that achievement in terms of the performance. In terms of budget, we have spent 99.99%, so when we round it off. So where we, in administration, we spend 100%, but now in citizen affairs, there was a difference of about 2 million, and then in immigration there was only 667. So we spent our budget up to the last cent. But as I'm saying, that is not yet finalized and the auditing of those figures. And then this was just giving per committee classification. There's nothing alarming there. This is the same like we said. Then share the revenue is important for us, as we know that we've got that self-finance. And to say our budget for what we'll collect of revenue was 921,500. We've collected more, 941, which is more than 20 million. But what is important for us is to split this amount, that what is collected by DECO is 200, is what we budgeted that they will collect, and then they actually collected 209, but that figure is going to change. Reason for it, which will change when we come back now with the annual financial statement, we recall that we always have that issue between DECO and Home Affairs, how to account for the revenue. So the final agreement which was given by Treasurer was that what DECO has collected, where they're not yet paid in the revenue account, must be recorded by Home Affairs as collected. So what we're reporting here was the amount which they deposited in the NRF in this report. Actually, now what they've collected over the year is 328 million. So that figure, when we come now with the final figures, it will increase. So it means now we look like we've collected more, but not that is all what has been deposited in the account, but this one is what was deposited in the account. And then for local we budgeted 721, and that year we collected 732, and also deposited safe amount in the revenue fund. So that is the difference between the total. So yeah, that is the previous year, but then I will come in at the end of the audit. Maybe I must also, which will still when I inform the chat about it, was that the financial statements were supposed to have been finalized by the 1st of July. But because of that change now in the accounting principle of how to account for the revenue, then our auditor general has to now for us to resubmit now those financial statements in terms of the new process. So then they are busy again dealing with that matter, but we'll inform the chair at the right time about that matter. Then in terms of the quarter one, in quarter one of 2016-17, we have achieved now 82% as against 100%. So we have achieved 82% and not achieved 18% on our first quarter. But again, now this one will go a little bit in detail. So there was saying the number of targets which we have for the quarter was 38. And then out of that, we have achieved 31 and not achieved 7, of which 5 are under administration. And then 6 have achieved all of their targets. And then immigration, there was 2, and then give us a total of 7. But I'm going to tell you now what those for this quarter. So then I want to split it now here. Unit at this branch, as this is actually what we are monitoring now in detail per branch. Then, what we have achieved in terms of civic environment. So, civics, one of the targets which couldn't achieve last year was the registration of bed within 30 days. So, we're starting now to see the results of the efforts which we are putting around this. So in this quarter, now we're able to now to achieve our target of the beds within the 30 days. And then also able to issue 719 smart cards we issued to citizens of age 16 and above. So we achieved a target. And as well as the first issue of the manual ID. But this is what we're still working hard on it at the department. Remember, there was a question always been asked from us. When are we stopping the green ID books? Yes, as we will explain, the only reason why we are still continuing with that is because of the footprints, that there are areas which were still not there. But looking at the numbers, it's showing us now that we are more or less now there to cover that the whole country. Remember last year, we added about other 38 offices. So if you look at the number, now it's still about 63 for first issue and then 43 for reissue. But ultimately, we want to see that number going down until we close that. And then with the passports, we're able to issue 172 passports within 30 days. And really, on the manual, on the passports, we are working now hard. There are a few offices now which are still on manual, and we're intending to close that gap. So that now we no longer issue manual passports in South Africa, but it's something which we are still working on it. Then I said, bed registration on Saturdays at high volume health facilities. What we have done here, Chen, we have tried to say, as was recognized, that now those days have got high numbers. Because now we are opening our offices on Saturdays, we're able now to start getting some staff members who said to be in our offices, they can also go to be in the health facilities. So we're starting to see some changes on that. This is what I've already talked about to say we have added now 38 offices in the number which we had last, which was 178. So that now has increased the capacity which we have, and that is not including the banks. And then continue the local government elections were also helpful to us to drive the process of people to go and apply. And we all said that we're opening on those days of registration, and then towards the elections we're opening on Saturdays longer hours, and then even on the day of the election we have open call time, so it has given us an improvement around that. And further, something which we wanted to look at on this issue of the collection. We have done some little bit of an analysis why people are applying for this document and don't come and collect. I think in South Africa we are not recognizing only the smart card or the green ID book as a form of identity. If I want to go to the bank with my driver's license, they still accept it as a form of identity. If I'm going to get into a plane and then the airliner still accept the driver's license as a form of identity, then that causes people now to say, yes, I've gone and applied for my ID, I've got my temporary, it was lost. At the same time, when I don't go and collect that one, it doesn't make any difference because I'm still able to transact. So we are looking at all those things. One of the issues which now are even during the election time, where now people take their IDs to Machonisa and then Machonisa gives that ID for that particular period. So those are the things now which we wanted to look at it and see what can it do. Because now we understand what is the reason why people are not collecting these ID books. So it's something which we want to work on. It will come back on what we want to implement on that. So we are looking now at improving now the dispatching of the cards back to the offices, working together with the GPW. So we have extended the age category of applicants. Remember, we are implementing e-home affairs, but because we are worried about the influx of the numbers and can collapse the system, then we started with the age between 30 and 35, and then now we have now increased it now from 20 to 40, the system is maturing. And now in the near future, we want to be now, but now the system is really, really matured. We'll be looking at again increasing this number. So people are able to apply now with the banks, it's recognized on Ladies and Kids, will give us the numbers which we already have or to this internet. And what that thing now means is that those clients, if we didn't have an internet, they would ordinarily have gone into our offices. But because they are able to apply to that process, that now is given a space to other people to be able to utilize the offices. Yes, there were outreach programs which we did during the month of June. In Soweto, we opened for the whole Sunday, and then the staff members in the department who are within the category of the youth, they volunteered and worked on that day, and the minister was there to launch that. Yes, there have been now some accessibility which we have around our system in terms of the power which was implemented at DVR, but just still that is not linking with our networks. I know that the day we should be coming to the committee to bring it together with CETA. So what I'm talking about is only the power side, not the network side. So the network will still be coming for that. And the people are starting to really comply with the internal audit recommendations. And I'm saying that auditor can still audit in our performance, but on the internal report we have seen, it looks better than the previous year. Then with regard to immigration, as I've indicated that even in the last quarter, so we've seen out that even in the current quarter, that now for us, for migrating from this manual now to an electronic process, it is really helping us. So we're able now to issue 98% of business and general work visa applications that were finalized within 8 weeks, and then 96% of critical skills visa were finalized within 4 weeks. As I've said now, that we have implemented now a verification process for identity document applications for permanent residence holders, wherein the original birth certificate is issued with a verified copy attached to it. But I still need to explain this, because it always causes a problem with people with regard to the smart card. And say now, why is naturalized people are not allowed now to apply for the smart card? And the reason for that is that we are worried about people who have been naturalized in South Africa in the past. that, how did they get those ideas and all that. So we really want first to be sure that we're tuning that data. And then once now we've cleared it, then we will open for the people. And the same is the same with the South Africans. We recall that for now, though people are able to go and apply, but where we've opened is more for 16-year-olds and 16 above. The other category, we've not yet announced to say we have opened for everyone because of the influx we are worried about. So it's the same with the PR holders. So we want the people to be patient with us and understand why I would do that. It's exactly to make sure that we clean these databases. We have indicated now that the is being fully rolled out now. We remember that in the previous quarter, we say we're doing one computer, two computers and all that. But now, we're fully rolled out now with the biometric at this point. If there were complaints of people saying, oh, the planes, they missed our flights and all that. So I say, no, it's just that people don't understand that when you take your international flight, according to myself, 2 hours in the airport. But people may come late, and others, even if they've come early, they will go and check in at an airliner and then go back into the airport where they've got a meeting or whatever, and then just go 10 minutes, and I think that I'm just going to cross to the immigration officer and go to that side. So we've put banners, even at the area now, of checking that people must know that we are taking the biometrics. But for now, we are only taking it now for the foreign and national, so that now we make sure that the system is settled and all that, and then we're going to extend even to the South African. And then, as I've said, that the issue of the resources in terms of, in particular, when we talk about resources in home affairs, it's more about people. That we still have that challenge, but one of the systems towards the advanced passenger processing system, so we're talking to National Treasury about that. And then, we are now updating our NIS. NIS is the system which we're using in our refugee reception centers. Maybe not here. We started now at the pilot at Marabastad. And then in that Marabastad, we also have an appointment, an electronic appointment system, which we'll be using. So that we don't have those queues of the people standing there and all that. So we're looking for a date, which now will be around this year, where we'll be launching now the Marabastad as a complete new way of doing things at Marabastad. So we still have got this dependence with the Transnet National Ports Authority. That's why, Chair, in the BMA bill, we've put a clause about this matter of getting what we have termed it as a reasonable accommodation. Because remember now that at the Maritime Port of Italy, Transnet, at the airport is the ATSA, and the land for this public works to deal with it. So what we found out is that if you go here at the harbor, we are having a center which we are using in the Department of Home Affairs, but we are paying rent to Transnet. But the reason for us to be there is for Transnet to be able to do their business, which now is for them getting those vessels which are going there. But now we must go with the cab to the same Transnet and say, can you give us accommodation? And then they decide that they will give you to there, not even at the area where we're supposed to be. And even when they've done that, they still say pay the rent. So those are the things now which we they caused delays now to say we wanted to implement the EMCS in some of these ports. But because of that, now we need to get the lease agreement signed and want to have a right space and all that, then we get to those delays. Then this is a challenge that we've got an old and a new movement control system because of that issue. Because once that happens now, you might have a hit on the EMCS, but it won't reflect on the MCS. But we are pushing at this. Well, second, I'll be going now per program in terms of what we have achieved and not.
Just before you proceed, have you ever interacted with Transnet on this issue that you are raising and what has been their response? And then, so that we know as we move forward.
No, sir, we have. As now that's in the bill. Is already there, so they are aware. But now we said the way of resolving this thing now going forward is that it must be in the law, so that is the law which says now Transnet will do this based on this and that and that. So that we have been discussing with them. Then in terms of now, that's going to be going on to those targets now which we have not achieved in the quarter. In terms of what was our target this year, Chair, we want now to automate our birth, marriage, and death processes. Because if you go now to our offices now, we are running two systems in an office. For passport and an ID is the automated one. But once you go now to the birth, marriage, and death is the manual. So now we want now by end of this year to have now this process also automated. So the cause of this bed in particular is one of the important first step processes in the department. If we miss that one, we do it wrongly, then everything else will fall apart. So it took us time now to come up with this user requirement so that we make sure that we are clear that when we automate this birth system, what does that entail? And as well, the issues of marriages, we need to make sure that when people get married, what processes we have. And you remember that now marriages is not only of the South Africans. The difficult part is that marriage between a South African and foreign national. So now there are certain requirements. For instance, we want what we call the letter of impediment. So that letter, what it means is that now that foreign national must prove to us that where I come from, I am not already married. So at the moment, you know, yes, they will bring us this letter, but now once you automate, once you be sure, how are we going to make sure? Is there any better way of getting this thing without this particular individual just bringing this thing to us? How can we make sure that the system can have some linking with other countries or not? And maybe with our embassy, the other embassies which are in the country. And then with the death, we know that the death registration is still a challenge. And that in particular now the insurance industry are coming to us and say how people are abusing the system. So currently, yes, we do take that fingerprint before the person gets buried. So the undertaker will go now to the mortuary and take that fingerprint, and then we have them on a paper. And then we issue the death certificate. But now that certificate, at the point of issuance, we are not verifying that fingerprint as against what we have in the system because of it being manual. So now when we automate, now we want to get in the way of how we'll be able to take those fingerprints as we are doing, and then they must be able to be verified before we issue a death certificate. So that now we don't sit with this problem that I'm alive, but I'm dead. Yeah. So that's why it took us a time now to close this. And we are still, now there are still other policy issues which we still want to go and even deal with it, even around the issues of this registration of death, because this is still a fact that we've got people who say, my mother passed away, I don't know my father, my grandfather, grandmother, my aunt, I'm just by myself. So we still have to deal with those, and then also the other one, complicated, is also those ones which must come now through the social workers as well. So that the policy issues we're still dealing with it around this, but ultimately we'll achieve that. So I'm saying that what was the delays in our quarter one around this. Then now on the life capture for refugees, smart ID cards and travel documents. Check the refugees first, goes like I'm saying, they go and register through the refugee centers. And then that information is in that system. So now we have to make sure now that we build an integration now between that system and our life capture system, because now the person will go, as I'm saying, apply for a refugee status in a refugee center, get granted, and then thereafter, we want now that person normally go to any office. It means now if it is like that, it's like a child now that already has that ID number. So it means that the ID number will be issued from the NIS side talking to the NPR, then by the time I'm getting there, once I give my ID number, it must already be there and then be able to get there. So that's what it took us time now in order to be there. So, Chair, as I'm saying, I will leave those which we have achieved, I'll deal with the ones which are an issue for us. Chair, as we, in the previous year, we did, we submitted to Cabinet that Home Affairs must now be moved to the security cluster, which that was approved. And then our basis was that Home Affairs now must be established based on an act, because currently we are not, there's no act which is establishing Home Affairs except the Public Service Act. But if you look at correctional services, defense, state security agencies, there is an act. So for us now to do that, we had in Cabinet said we must now come up with this business case, because now the business case must be inclusive to say, yes, this is what we want in the act, this is how we operate, these are the resources and all that. So we had to appoint a service provider to be able now to assist us on developing that. So there was a delay on the tender process, but we know that will be concluded now by July. That was the first quarter, that was already appointed. So when we come for the second quarter, I will tell the committee where we are. So, Chair, after that, I'll skip all what is achieved. I will only deal with the issues where we have not achieved in the quarter. So you recall at this met that as a department, we wanted now to establish what we called is an asylum seeker processing centers next to the border line. So for us, we first had to get the land, which we informed the committee last year that we did settle a land next to Mpumalanga in Komati Port. So now for us now as you know to design and now what this concept of a refugee center will be. So we have to now deal with that issue, and then now we have already now finalized that now the concept now is going to minister for approval, and then thereafter we'll be continuing now with the advertising for a tender to deal with that issue. But in the budget we've got money for starting the process of building this refugee processing center. And I said now that that case now which has been closed in Cape Town now, it paved the way for us to do what we wanted to do.
Just remember to come back to the vetting.
Yeah.
The vetting of the official. Just remember before you continue to speak to that one.
Okay, I will
hear that. Okay. You know that you have achieved it, but just speak to it a little bit before.
Yeah.
You remember last week that you had some challenges.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. Then share with Felix, as I've said, we have achieved all the targets there. There was no target not achieved. Then now, with the BMA, we had to come up with a change management plan, Chair. And now we are aware that BMA will be touching from various departments and all that. So for us to get prepared for that. We wanted to come up with a proper change management plan. So where we are now, there was a delay again there of getting the service provider to be able to assist us in developing that, but now we're already moving on that. But that change management plan is for preparation for us when we come up to 1st of April 2017. This back to what I was saying is our challenges. This year, we wanted to have now some of the sites in the land port and maritime for us for improving of the accommodation as offices as they stand. So there were some delays which we have now for finalizing of these leases with the 10PA, but we are talking to them as I've already indicated. Just to say now what we want to be really dealing with just going forward. As I said, now with the offices including now the banks, we've got now about 189 offices now which are digitized. So we want to continue now working on that. And we'll be making sure that now we are strengthening now our partnership with the VFS, which is dealing with the collection of the permanent of the permits, and then now with the banks. We also wanted to, we are dealing with the Department of Health Check. I want to know this automation of the BMT, because now one of the requirements is that a doctor, when that bed is occurred in the health facility, and then that is registered within the health and the doctor must fill a certain form. Now what we are looking at it is to see how can we make sure now that when that happens, it also comes to our system. So that at the end of the day, I must know that there were 20 beds occurred in this hospital. However, I've only registered 10. Where is the 10? But I'm not just telling the number. Currently, I just know that beds occurred in a hospital at this number, but I don't have the ID number of the mother and others. What I wanted to look at the case to make sure whether there is a possibility that what it made might say, I've not yet named the child and all that. I'm not sure that I'm going to use the surname of me as a mother or the surname of the father, but what I wanted to have something which at least we can be able to say, I know that there was this bed which was occurred. It was with this mother. Well, I don't know the name, but I got the details. And now when we are chasing those who are not registered, we are not chasing it from nowhere. We are chasing exactly with some put in. It says, Mother A, you were the bed which occurred in this hospital. You were the mother. Where is that child? At the moment, so that those are the things I want to deal with the Department of Health. As I've said, I said that now we'll be having now a booking system which is automated now at Marabastak, so we'll be starting. So that now people, they only go there on appointment. So if on that day we can deal with 300 people, we want 300 people. And not them coming in the morning, they will come according to the time which are allocated to them. So we're continuing with the process of the green paper which was launched, and we are by September, end of September, we'll be getting out the feedback from people, but our target is that we want to have that white paper by the end of the financial year. As I've said, we are in the process now of digitizing the birth, marriage and death, and we will continue with our process of making sure that BMA will be established by April 2017. And we're still looking at all this, we're engaging the Treasury around the issue of these budgetary constraints, which are not only in Home Affairs, but see how other ways and means which we can deal with it to try and deal with that. So, Chair, now I'll hand over now to the CFO now to deal with the budget now of 2017.
This is ready, can proceed.
The vetting is currently, we are implementing the vetting as it is prescribed. But what is the concern of the union is that the vaccine was not as a requirement before you get appointed, which is the challenge we're sitting with now. People get appointed, they work, we collect these forms, and that is our responsibility, and submit to the state SSD. Then the person works for 3 years, there is no response. Then on the fourth year, you come back with a response and say it is negative. Now what do? That person has been employed. So we end up now maybe saying, no, that person is in a critical area, he must be moved to a non-critical area. Now if you think about in a situation like home affairs, which area is not critical? I don't have it. Because whether we are in permits, or you are in a passport, or you are in an ID, or whatever, all the areas are like that. Now the question would be, now are you saying that that person must be taken out of the department, and then that causes challenges? So that's what now is a problem. So they're saying, no, you can continue with this current, but if we want to make sure that is either that must be before you appoint a person. But with the capacities they have, it means I can advertise 100 posts and then you can only fill them after 3 years because now you're waiting for the vaccine certificate. Then even now on the refugee amendment bill, which will be presenting now to Parliament as well, we also deal with that matter to us as Home Affairs, as far as saying it can only be vetted after an interval of 5 years. We are saying there are critical areas which is problematic for us to wait for that kind of a period. It should be at 10 years. We can have an interval to say at least whether it's 3 years. But it does not mean that the department cannot come and say, now, Mr. Blaine, can you submit this form? And say, no, I can't do it because I'm still not finishing 3 years. We want to have that flexibility of able to check at what point that we can do it. So currently it is not, as I'm saying, it's not something which is affecting us except the capacity now which is then within the SSA, but it's not that we are not able to implement. So officials then submit their forms, and then we've got also, that's why now we say we have achieved it as far as saying that 200 people who must submit the forms to us, and we do the preliminary, which we check that with a criminal thing and all that, and then we submit enough to state security. That's where challenges are.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will present the budget business expenditure report as at the end of the first quarter, that's at the end of June 2016. Slide 51 deals with the expenditure at a program level. The total budget of the department is 7.16 billion rand. Of that, we have spent 2.1 billion rand, translate to 29.6%. If you use a linear spend, then you should have spent 25%, but included in the 29.6% is extraordinary spending or higher than normal spending for the IEC as well as the self-financing expenditure, which we usually have checked. You'll see that's been under 43% for citizen affairs, where ISTs also lie. If you just go a bit down, you'll see the earmarked funds, electoral commissions, operations, their spending is 40.1% at the end of that quarter. So that is in line with their projection. They were planning to spend that kind of money given that we had the municipal elections, or in preparation for the municipal elections. If you look at the department alone, it's the second last column. You'll see that we have close to 5 billion rand. Of that, we have spent 1.3 billion rand, translates to 27.7%. Again, that difference, it's even though it's 2.7%, it was a self-financing expenditure. So from where we are currently, it looks as though we'll again be in a position to spend our full allocation at financial year end. The next slide deals with the expenditure, their economic classification. Our compensation of employees budget is for the current financial year is 3.1 billion rand. That is in accordance with our ceiling as prescribed by National Treasury. But as DJ had already pointed out, Chair, we are not in a position to appoint any people because our problem is not the current financial year, but the next financial year. In the next financial year, we have introduced a budget cut of 253 million rands on compensation of employees only, and that has a carry-through effect in the outer financial year as well. On departmental agencies and services, you'll see that the spend is 39%. That includes the IEC. I've already spoken about the IEC. On business services, also slightly around 28.8%. That includes the sub-financing. I've already spoken about that yet. I think the note at the bottom of the slide also explains the variances. I'm not sure whether I should go into much more detail than that.
I'm a little bit lost. You said in the next financial year you are going to cut the compensation to employees.
Yes.
By a certain amount.
Cut? Let me rephrase it. National Treasury has informed us of our budget cut on compensation of employees for 2017-18. That amount is 233 million rand. In the outer year, the year after that, they are supposed to reduce our compensation of employees budget with 396 million rand. But included in that 396 would be the 253 of the previous financial year. So we're not in a position to appoint any new people, because if we do that, we will only make the deficit on the ceiling greater. But I assume we'll come back to that, Chair. Thanks, Chair. The next slide deals with the expenditure per business unit. Chair, all these business units are doing well. I just want to point out our program one administration. We include under program one, we include office accommodation as well as IT. So even though the budget for administration looks big, we have certain centralized expenditure items such as office accommodation and IT services, which are expensive services, which we carry under program one. That's in line with National Treasury guidances that says you must keep all your overhead in program one under administration. Okay, then the next slide, citizen affairs. Overall, there's on status services, if you look at status services, they're spending on 162%. That includes the self-financing channel. I'll come back to the self-financing. The self-financing is to pay for the enabling documents such as passwords and IDs. We usually pay GPW for that. We get that money back. We use the revenue we collect instead of the expenditure. So that we balance our book in the end. This is an arrangement with National Treasury, without financing arrangement. Immigration Services Chair, item itself, you'll see there's 50% spent. That's basically as a result of what we call the advanced passenger processing expenditure, that the rand dollar exchange rate contract. It allows us to monitor who boards a plane in a foreign country en route to South Africa and enables us to upload people which we do not want in that country. So that's a useful preventative measure, the APP. We have also made arrangements now with SAPS to contribute to some of the spending in the next financial year, as he just already indicated. Okay, the next slide deals with the expenditure for province. This is where our operations happen. On the provincial side, the expenditure looks good. Mpumalanga is understanding slightly at 18.2%, but they should pick up. I think they had some issues solving out their GP account, but that's now up to date. So going forward, the provinces are spending according to plan. Their expenditure is in line with our projections, or we're in line with the linear projection. So the provinces this is not a cause for concern. So the next slide deals with the self-financing expenditure. If you remember the one on status services, we have spent 163 million rand already on the self-financing. This is for the enabling documents. We usually pay DPW, but we also pay for cash and transit services. That expenditure item is reducing as we move to, as we introduce point-of-sale devices and reduce our cash handling at our offices. We also have property sale financing. We have not spent in the first quarter on that, but that's also in accordance with our projections. And I think we haven't spent on the sale financing side as well. So we spent 163 million rand on sale financing. We get this money back, we'll be adjusted estimates later in the financial year, close to end. But we will collect the money first year, so that's the next slide. As you see, we have spent 162 million rand on self-financing that we have collected at a local level, 166 million rand right far. So we must just make sure that our revenue collected at least exceeds what we have spent on self-financing in order to satisfy our agreement with National Treasury. And I must point out here that the revenue collected at this quarter excludes any revenue the DOCO usually collects on our behalf. So we haven't factored that into our accounts yet for this quarter. And that's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. This self-financing issue, is there no planning that we just sit, wait, and then we're told that we have collected 10 rand, then we decide to send it? Well, what actually happened? Because then, if we know the activities that we are looking at, there must be some reasonable expectation of what can be collected and what it is that we are going to do if we collect XYZ. How is it done here currently? I just wanted to put the super members can understand as well more than what you said on the self financing.
Okay, we have to project to National Treasury what we intend to collect in a particular financial year. So this financial year we've projected that we're going to collect 990 million rand as self-financing, as revenue. And we then work out, we then go to National Treasury and say to them, we plan to collect this kind of money, we plan to spend it, and we plan to spend it on counter-corruption, for cash and transit, and properties for the look and feel, to improve our office layout, and then for the self-financing period, like all of that, that's for the enabling documents, to subsidize the IDs, the passports, and to pay GPW for all the forms and things we use in the production of, in our production environment. All the forms that fall in, that get filled in, the registers, the managed registers, all those things get paid out of self-financing. And then we also have what we call a wire self-financing, that we call that IT self-financing. For that we can use self-financing basically for anything relating to the production of an enabling document, provided it does not include compensation of the employee and is not a recurrent thing, but even though some of these things are recurrent. So we have plans on what we're going to spend our self-financing on. We issue business units with allocation letters and say to them, you get so much for our financing, and we follow the same process as we follow in respect of our budget allocations when it comes to our financing.
Yeah. Okay, I think whoever knows better on that cutting of compensation to employees, can somebody talk a little bit more on it? What is happening when we are expecting more inspectors, or expecting all sorts of things to increase the personnel? Can somebody just speak on that?
No, sir, this issue is not for Home Affairs only. We recall that in January 2016, a decision was taken for the country that for us to meet the issue of the rating agencies so that our economy can be not be downgraded. One of the issues was that the compensation of employees in the budget spend of government, it looks like it's too high. So now it needs to be reduced. And based on that, we were given what is called a ceiling. So a ceiling means that as Department A, you must not exceed this amount. So where that amount was given to Home Affairs is 3.146 billion rand as a ceiling. We have to calculate now the number of people we have at that time, which is now is 17, the current year we have. Then when I was doing those calculations, it meant now for us that we had shortfall with warm bodies which we have. It means next year I give you military 146, and then by next year, those people did not resign, it's the same number and all that, whether there will be an increase of 1% or 5% or whatever, then I won't be able to pay fully the salaries of the people I have. Hence now it said, if there is Home Affairs and Board now resigns, you can't fill that post because you are not within the ceiling, you are out. So from April up to now, I think we're about 53 million of people now were resigned. So in that 250 of the following year, I'm already short now with the 200. Because now I got people resigned by 250. But what are the implications of that? Implications of that is like now, in O.R. Tambo, I had a manager there previously, but resigned in, left in November of 2015. So by January, that post was not yet filled. So I mean, I can't fill it anymore. At all times as we speak, I've got no manager. And then, I can't even have the one who is acting. Because acting says, you can only act on a vacant, funded position. If that post is not funded, you cannot act on it. Then the person who's doing the work there is doing the work on a voluntary basis. And that is not only the area which we have, it's other areas are also affected the same. So that's why now we're submitted to Treasury, we're dealing with that, to say, yes, we are complying with your directive, but it means this. So they were still working with them to say what they must do in order to make sure that the department is able to be operational, not at the state where we are. That I don't have to fill any, so there's no education office right now, Chair, which can be filled for now. The only one I'm trying to have now is just to make sure that the womb put this which we already have. By 2017-18, they must be able to be paid. That's why I'm going to say for this year, we do not have the issue because now we're able to still pay the people. But again, as we resign, we need to make sure that when that cut comes into effect, I'm already able to do that. So that's what it means.
Okay. Honorable members, I'm sure you have heard. I just hope that You are not encouraging people to resign to make up the cut. For you to comply, you are not doing that. Because surely that is detrimental. Then the other thing, of course, is that the honorable member is that the official will be expecting some sort of an increase. And once you get the increase, then that will be worsened. The situation will be worsened. Then if people don't resign or die, and they get an increase, that means people must be fired to comply. And really, then I think that's the problematic. Honorable members, we have heard. Welcome, Honorable Hussein. We did get your apology last week, and it's fine. And then I think we are happy that today you are back and to assist us in this big challenges of Home Affairs. Look. We shouldn't forget or delay starting the debate of Home Affairs being part of the security cluster and the implications of that in terms of human resources, financial resources, infrastructure resources. I think that debate must start quickly because it may have the capacity to actually change the mind of those that say you must cut to a certain level because actually we need to be getting more resources to be able to function as such. And I think it needs to have a serious take to that particular discussion. Honorable Faye, then followed by Marapuji and Memnisi, and Dr. Fidlen, you will be the last part one, and then Honorable Gumede will close up. You may proceed.
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you for the kind words. I wanted to start just with the very last comments that the DG had made. I mean, this is not just, I think, a worrying situation as it is, it's a very serious situation. And I just wanted to make a suggestion, Chair, that as a committee, we should express a very strong view to Treasury, possibly via the Minister, to make some level of intervention. It can't be that an essential service like Home Affairs does not get the required funding to be able to do some of the very basic operations, which are critical, especially from the security perspective. So I wanted to add my voice to that. We're very easily criticize Home Affairs when they don't get things right. I'm the first one to do that often. But we also have to balance it out with whether or not they have the tools to be able to do that job. And I don't think it will be fair for us to criticize them if they don't have the ability to deliver on it. So I wanted to put that issue on the table. I think for me that's probably the most critical thing that I would like to raise in the comments and the questions. I just want to ask the DG about the PR permit, and I'm encouraged to hear that there is some automation and there is some progress being made there, but this is still one of those areas where there is lots of frustration around adjudication and appeals, and I understand to some extent what some of the frustrations are, but what I'd like to hear is what the plan is going forward, how you can deal with these things to get rid of them as quickly as possible, reduce the waiting times and the turnaround times on those permanent residence permits. The second issue, Chairperson, is around the registration of births, more especially at the hospital. And this is a matter that always comes up on almost every quarterly report. With the same problem, which I understand, is the lack of resources at the hospitals. Now, with all of the effort that was put on the campaign to register the birth of new babies, we can see that there is this gap. I mean, we've been seeing it for a long time, that we are still not able to capture those newborn children at hospitals because either we don't have the resources or the systems are not operating or whatever the reason might be. And again, just to hear the DG's response on the longer-term plan, because I do worry that the longer we are able to close this gap, the more there will be unregistered citizens in the country and the more you go back to the situation that we were trying to fix in the first place. So it's almost as if it's a moving target and you're chasing the tail and you're not getting to a point of where we can 100% capture every single child that has been born and get them registered. I take it that hospitals have got records of all of these parents. Sure, there must be a way in which we could take that up, but I don't want to tell you how to do your job. Perhaps you've already got position there. Then, Chair, on the smart IDs, I recognize the comments that the DG made about naturalized citizens and the process of cleaning that up before you allow people to apply for the smart IDs. The question is, how long do you think will it take for that process to be completed? And is it not possible at some point you have probably cleaned up 20% of it and allow those people to apply? Or if I can just get your comments on that one. And then lastly, Chair, I'm not sure if the DG has raised it while I was out of the room shortly. If he has, I apologize. The rollout of the smart ID system at the bank. Where are we with that, and how long will it take to start seeing more of the banks having these facilities? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rapudi.
Yeah. Thank you very much, NG and the CFO. But before I do some comments here, I want to just to say here in the community, you know, Chair, I've been told repeatedly by people out there in the community, but what the Home Affairs have done, they have done exceptionally professional, diligent, you know. Well, thank you very much, DG. You've got an excellent team. You know, even I got even an SMS from one of the professors from University of Pretoria. He said that he has received a PR and he is really grateful of the work that the Home Affairs have done for him. That is an excellent work. You know, sometimes we speak about negative things and that, but we don't really talk about this kind of positive thing, you know, to our people. Thank you very much. On the slide 12, mothers are uninformed of the birth registration. I'm of the view that we've got departments out there which can also play a critical role in ensuring that this kind of information has it down to the communities out there. Even the Department of Education, we should work with the Department of Education about making awareness about the importance of registration of birth. The Department of Social Welfare, and yes, we health, if we are working with them, but let's just try to expand, you know, our information system in that regard. And that how important is it about registering once a birth? Let's cascade it down. And the slide 13 on slide 13, bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the PRT, adjudicating team at level 6 stopped. What are the issues about it? You know, that is my... a question there. And this revenue fund that the DG has indicated, the revenue fund, how is it going to assist? And who is controlling the revenue fund? The pivoting to the debt report. I think it's a bone of contention. Are we going to win in that regard? You know, having the fingerprint of a dead person. I'm sure. I think probably they. How are we going to find out these dead people? I'm sorry. Probably you will assist me on that. Why should I work for free? Why should I keep on really this reduction of the compensation of employees? Are we not demotivating our employees? There is no any way where we can begin to assist. I'm sorry. I think really somehow is unfair labor practice. Should I act for more than a year? There is a vacant post there and it's not being filled. ADG, I think probably you will assist us. I think that is totally a dead labor practice. I thank you.
Proceed, Mamis.
Thank you very much, sir. And thank you for the presentation from the department. Through this report, we can see that the department is really putting and trying to put more effort on achieving their target. We really commend the department for it. And also, Chair, to thank the department for the good work or the job well done during our local elections. Home Affairs offices were accessible and they were all ready to do the work. Thank you very much. Then I will simply go into my question, Chair. I've got a few questions to make. Then my first question will be on the nature of the majority of the appeals which are causing the backlog at the mission. If maybe the department can just unpack that. And I would like to know what are the incentives, if there are any, or penalties that are in place to ensure that there is improvement in the making of packet, because that is very much important to us. For example, the information service only achieved half of its packet for the first quarter, and the institutional support service only achieved half of its packet for the third quarter. So if I can get explanation on that. And my other question would be on page 12 of the presentation. In your report, you've made mention of the fact that there is capacity limitations at local offices and health facilities. So I would like to check from the department if the department is planning to capacitate these local offices and health facilities. Then what are the plans around that? Because these local offices are used by most of our poor people who cannot afford these private facilities. If I can get an explanation on that. And Chair, I would also like to know how many offices remain to receive the light capture functional, since on page 25 you've made mention that we have added 38 offices that were rolled out to make 178 offices. So my last question is to around the area of budget. I would like to check from the department about the feasibility that on the improvement of infrastructure at the border post, if it has been completed and submitted to the National Treasury, what is the issue around it? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Fiedler.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the DG and Chief Official. Firstly, DG, I just want to find out. I was doing an oversight in Home Affairs in Khayelitsha, where I found that the first time ID applicant was applying for a smart card, not the green ID. So I just want the explanation, is it changed? You can apply for a smart card now without applying for the green barcode ID. On slide 13, I think where it talks about foreign offices going to be used to back out the bottlenecks. How much capacity does that office have in order to deal with these bottlenecks? And do they have the manpower? If not, what is the other strategy that you have for the PRs? Because that's a very problem child. Other question, given that gaps exist in the registration of death after office hours or in the weekend, I know you've explained it, what other strategy do you have? Because you mentioned some people go to give birth and they don't carry ID, but the information is already in the hospital. That is also a government hospital, whatever, but you can liaise with whoever, the doctor or the staff during the administration. So can you find the information there instead of saying we must wait for this person to come and register? Thank you very much, Chairman.
Honorable Gumede. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. And firstly, I'd like to thank the department that generally they are doing good work. We are receiving compliments from a number of people. About 3 days ago, I received a compliment from someone who
you the Barrack Street office, saying that she did, she got an ID card in 3 days from that office. And then there are quite a number of compliments that we are receiving from the ordinary public in as far as the home affairs are concerned. And we recognize the effort, and I believe that they are doing really good work. But as we have said, we expect even better, because the target should be 100%. And for instance, around the issue of these 30 days child birth registration, critical as it is, don't you think that perhaps it would assist if perhaps awareness on this matter went together with the prenatal clinic attendance, the kinds of things where perhaps after treatment they receive whatever documents or something, or somebody talking to them at that stage? Because really it is critical, and in the long run really we need to improve on that, because some mothers are not aware, particularly in the smaller hospitals or in the smaller towns. And then the second area, it has been addressed, that one of delaying permanent residence for naturalization. I think I do understand it, so I'm not going to ask that. And then the other area is the issue of of generally meeting targets. Are we satisfied that we are doing our best in terms of incentives and disincentives or penalties around this issue to try and keep on improving? Then the last two areas are the area of household services. I know that it is a small amount of budget, that's a comparatively small line item. But still, I think the projection, which is at this stage 1.81%, which is much more, 81% more, I think this needs attention, because it is not an indication of something that is well planned after discussions, because it is not happening for the first year. I think our projections there should improve. And then lastly, what is the anticipated budget shortfall for theater services for the year if quarter one spending is already 152%? But generally a lot has been done, but there are areas that still need attendance. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And I think from my side, I will really join honorable Hussein to really express our disappointment on any intention of actually crippling the department from doing the work that it's supposed to do. Yes, we know that the media general requirement to cut spending on other departments, but when it comes to home affairs, I think there must be a special recognition of the kind of work that the department is doing, because we can't afford any relaxation on the scrutiny for the population register. We can't allow any relaxation of the scrutiny in relation to the naturalization. We end up having everybody. We can't relax anything in relation to the immigration services, otherwise then the other countries will just move across to South Africa. And I think we really just need to find a way of expressing our disappointment. Then we're really not objecting to the directive as given to all or to government. But when it comes to home affairs, then surely some sort of special recognition needs to be done. Otherwise, then we will be creating problems for ourselves. And then, of course, is that the joining Honorable Gumed, DG, is it not possible for a Home Affairs official on Monday, Monday 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, visit the hospitals in their area and just simply collect information? It is not possible because there is not 20,000 hospitals within any particular area. There will be two, three hospitals. Other areas is just one hospital within the jurisdiction of an office. And then somebody, while we are waiting for a particular design system, electronic system that you're saying with the help that you can think of, but for now, an official take a vehicle on the morning of Monday, 8 o'clock, then make up those particular inquiries of what has happened over the weekend, come back in the office, and then that raising that. And of course, the progress of the banks, I think that's what Honorable Hussein also wanted to know. Progress of the banks, what it is that they are doing, what sort of figures can we get, and then if we can get this report maybe in the next meeting, then let it be so. But we will need to know, after they have been launched, what sort of impact are they making in the whole business that we tried to lab with them. And then, of course, it's also just emphasizing what the Honorable Rapuji and Gumede said. Why don't we put posters in the clinics that talk to these issues of registration of deaths and the same every day, and then possibly negotiate with Home Affairs, then they put it as part of the package that is communicated to affecting mothers. Not because to pamphlet an A5 or something like that, that forms part of the package. And then maybe the nurses as well can be trained at the clinic where the expecting mothers are visiting, and when the day that they are actually told that now your day is coming, then for this particular package, including all the immunization that they are doing, you know, for the children that they are receiving, is it not possible that we can make those particular pamphlets? And then, of course, is I don't know how far back one can go, DG. I would like to see the report on the those that have been naturalized, whether it's the past 5 years or past 10 years, whatever, as far as we can go. How is this have been playing itself out? People that wanted naturalization and that have succeeded in numbers, just see the pattern. And just see the pattern of the naturalized the people in the country. And if it is possible, sometimes those that have been naturalized, whether there are some of them that were naturalized from other countries, and then they behave badly, and then we have dealt with them in one way or another. What is there that has happened? And then, so that we should have that view and inform us moving forward, whether we should just continue as business as usual or certain amendments in the process have to be brought in place. DG, you may proceed and try and do it within the next 20 minutes at most. Finish.
So thanks very much. So we will try and then, if I can not, you can just put everything together. No, firstly, let's thank the comments which was getting from the members. We will make sure that we communicate that to the department that what they are doing is being seen up there, so we must continue with that. So also the comment around this issue of funding is something which we think is a matter of concern to us. But as you said, we have to abide, but we have to bring it to the attention of the committee, whatever intervention is not coming from us. Chair, I would leave the issue of adjudication and appeals to JK, and I want Mr. Mkiza to deal with this whole issue of the registration of bed. Chair, how long is it going to take us to clean the system? Chair, it's something which we are really working hard on it. As we were estimating that the issue of this whole thing, we're looking at something like 5 to 7 years, but that is increasing because of the resources which we do not have. Where we are now, we are also which is one of the base of the NIS, National Identity System. Once now that system is procured, then it's what NIS is getting. So when we take data from the current systems and we're transferring it to the new system, then that data will also be cleaned at that moment. You will remember that we're still seeing with the issue of duplicates. And remember the process which we're trying to do on that matter when I redo it again. You remember we go to the radios, we issue the names even on the media and put it on papers per region, because we admit that those are the first steps of things. So at that point, we're sitting at something like 29,000 then. We had to still go back now to the system and say, what is still left for us, just as a number which they can show to us in the system that is a duplicate. So in the process of NIS, we are still looking at something like 2 to 3 years. So that's where we think we'll be able now to deal with that issue clearly. Then, sir, around the issue of the rollout of smart cards at the banks, which Mr. Kizeme will give us the numbers, if he doesn't, then we can bring it in the next meeting. What we're concentrating on it now, you remember the banks are only around Gauteng, and there are only one in the Western Cape. And our strategy was first to make sure that this thing works well, rather than going and we just multiply it and then get issues. Most especially that there was a real concern about the maturity. So we really wanted to walk slowly around that. And the main issue now which is affecting us now, which we are still sitting with the banks and see how we can deal with this. You remember that our main issue is the people. So, because in the way this thing is designed, is that it's not the banks who are working on our system. The banks can give us maybe by tomorrow 120 branches. But the question is, where are we going to get staff to be there? So that's where it is a problem. So currently, we are having, in fact, we wanted to appoint 60 people for the current banks which we have. But when we're in that process, we're left about 8, which were not yet appointed, in particular supervisors. And then we receive a letter that says not going to appoint anybody else. So we have appointed about 52, and then we're left with this 8. We're going to be more the supervisors. But then I was still working with people who are in the department now at the moment. So that's where we are now with the banks. In terms of the how we take it forward. But what we wanted to do, as I was saying, Chair, was to increase all these numbers because we are learning things are different. For a first-time applicant, these are the issues. For the people who are elderly, these are the issues. So that's what we are learning through that process. So once you know, we can close this gap of personnel, we'll be able. But we are negotiating with the banks. And so before the end of this year, Chair, when I say end, I mean yet before December, we'll be having something which now we're going to say we've concluded now this process, how we're going to do it, and then maybe we can start. But already the red flag for us now is the people, staff. So we don't want anybody to go into our system. And then, Chair, when it deals with that, we'll also deal with that issue of the adjudicators, and then let me deal with this thing of the fingerprint, which is, I'm sure maybe members will remember a case of a singer in Durban who said, look, Nkumeni who has died, who is here, that is not Nkumeni, I am Nkumeni, because of the royalties. That chap was he wanted was royalties. Even went further, which I'm not sure whether it was, he talked to the wife, and then one of the wives said, no, I know with the mark, this is incoming. How was that case now resolved? It was only resolved based on the fingerprints which were taken by Home Affairs. Otherwise, if there were no fingerprints, we'd have to go and dig the grave and do the DNA. The DNA is the next step. So it's something No, Nkumani died. The one who was in the grave, we proved that it was Nkumani. The one who was walking was not Nkumani. That guy was sentenced over 23 years. Yes. So a fingerprint is taken by the undertaker, because remember, before now we need to have a death certificate. Then that finger, that undertaker, that got the certificate, they are registered and do all that. So by that I'm saying that with the system now we have, want to build something now that once we take that fingerprint, it must go to our system immediately. So by the time we issue that certificate, we know what is of this particular person. And then, Chair, that appeal also gives can deal with anything which deals with the revenue as well, I mean with the permits. Let me come to this issue of consequences on the package. Chair, what we have is the consequences. What we do not have is the incentives. In government, there is no incentives. I think Minister was clear, you can go to our annual report. Nobody at SMS level who has been paid the bonus in Home Affairs, because we're still sitting with the qualifications from Attorney General. So how do we justify that we're paying a bonus? So we do not have an incentive side for managers. What we have is a consequence side to say, if you don't achieve, this is what will happen. So when the people come to us and say, look, I'm in this branch, we have achieved 100%, and then they say, no, it's fine, but overall, as a department, we are still not at that level. So that's what we do not have. But the consequences are there, as we are seeing now how we are improving where we started and where we are now, and we really want to push. We have been trying to understand what are the reasons. There's one now people are talking about in Home Affairs now. We've come, they talk about a smart principle, and we said no, at Home Affairs now we add is mass death, so that now you E, those things must be evidence based, and then they must be funded. So we've learned in the past years that people are used to put this target, and then in the middle they will tell us it's not funded, and then now we end up with a target which is not achieved, and then the person says not said no, put the targets which now you will be able to produce an evidence which must be equal to the funding which you have. So we are trying to push this thing on those bases. Capacity is what we're talking about. The officers, we know about it, but it's constrained. But what we're saying, we don't have funding for it. Offices, we still get the last capture offices. The infrastructure now of the offices which are left, we've looked at them. It's going to be difficult to implement any system. It's just a one office in a corner. It does not allow you to do that. That's why we want to push the bank relations. So that now we're able to say, in Idruzo as an example, that office is not possible, whether you like it or not, to put the life capture. But if I've got a relationship with the bank who says, no, we better now get the bank to be able to give us that so that people can be able to have that access. And we recall that we still even wanted to talk to the post office. But the resources now said, first let's deal with the bank. Once we pass that, then we'll go to the other things. SEFO will respond on the feasibility when it is with others. First time applicant, yes, no. What we want to push for is a smart card. The only group is when we are in the offices where there is no system. When there is a system, we must apply for a smart card. So even now with the banks, they will apply for a smart card first. We no longer want people to get a green ID book, not unless it's where there is no offices. No, it's not a big capacity which we have in the foreign office. I think it's about 22 people who are there, and then I will be here. It's about 15 people which we have. Is the one now which we're going to see, but we're not closing that office completely, because remember, there are still South Africans who apply for passport, birth certificate, so we still need to get that. So, but we just will take some number, not any other thing else. So Mr. Mkhize will deal with the practice of death. And then now, recession is going to deal with the question of death, and I dealt with the issue of then the household and protection. a chair that will be there, then give the stats and the number of chair naturalized. This was a new process chair, but I think it was really during the time of the preparation for elections. Now for naturalized people, we no longer give them certificates now in a various office somewhere. We wanted, we started that process, who was the judge who goes there and at that ceremony, and then people take the oath to say, yes, I'm now taking this citizenship. So now we're doing it in a manner that it is no longer that even on the side we can't control that. So we've done that, and we will be continuing now. But at the end of the day, in a year, we'll know that in South Africa, there were 500 people who were naturalized. And when they were getting their certificates, it was not in the corner. They came, and then they were in front of a judge and conduct, that's what people must start taking it seriously. But we've got the numbers of the people that have been naturalized before, and then we can be able to give it to the chair at another time. Okay, let me now start with the, let me take the first one, and then Mr. Mkiza, and then come back to the CFO quickly.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members.
Let me just say, DG, you are a chairperson now for the break. Until they complete, and then you bring it back to me.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, I will, I think, answer the questions that were asked by Honorable Hussein Raputi and Honorable Fitlan on the issue of permanent residence. Chairperson, you will recall, this is an area that we did very badly in the past. We were struggling. We automated the process. When we automated it, there was a bit of gremlins in the system. We worked it through, we reviewed our work processes, we got our staff, we got a bit more capacity in that particular area. So we started off very slow in that area, but it was worth the investment in what we did there. And we're now producing, as we have said, 94% of our permanent residence permits are now adjudicated within 8 months. In fact, not within 8 months. We now do it between 3 and 4 months. But it must be clear, Chairperson, that that is for our priority applications. And our priority applications, which are in support of the National Development Plan, are those that are applied in terms of critical skills, general work permits, and business permits. So if you're applying or categories, if you're applying those categories, you would get your permanent residence in about 3 months. You should receive it. The ones where we do have challenges with, and I think that the members are raising, would be queries around applications in the spousal category, applications in the relative category, applications in the dependents category, and of course the appeals, which I will come back to as well. Now if we have a look at those three categories, those are our high risk categories. Those are the categories where we have most of the fraud happening. One in terms of fraudulent marriages or marriages of convenience. So there is much more investigation that needs to be done there. Also dependents that are not actually dependents. So you need to go and investigate whether these people are really who they say they are. And as well as relatives, a person coming in saying that I am the brother or the sister of this permanent resident holder, you need to go and investigate whether that is true. So the turnaround time for those permanent resident permits are longer, and it takes longer. Now, I need to then mention to a person that the constraint that we have in that area is simple. It's resources. I just don't have the staff to do it. I have 18 people that do PR adjudication. Now, of those 18 that do that, they have to push out they have to do all of those checks as well as do the adjudication for them. So clearly, 18 is not. In fact, in terms of my risk appetite in this particular area, chairperson, I'm now my risk tolerance is on a thread. Should I lose one, I might not be able, or two, I would not make this target. I'm at that level. So the more people we lose, I might come back to you and you might say, McKay, you've achieved so well over this period, how can you then drop to this level again? It is because we are at that threshold. Now, should you lose one or two people, it's going to impact on production. So I need the house to understand that chairperson. In the area now, like I said, there's a lot of applications that are fraudulent, that are not because they don't have the requirements, but clearly right from the beginning they're fraudulent. They use fraudulent documents to apply. They apply in a category, for instance, the 27G application. Are people coming into South Africa and saying, hey, I've got a child in South Africa, I want permanent residence? Now, the law states that if you claim or you want to apply using 27G, it must be someone that can support you whilst you are in South Africa, not a minor. Now, there's numerous applications on this ground, so we reject them. So the rejection rate is high. The high rejection rate translates into high appeals. And I've only got 6 official dealing with appeals. 6. Now, it is understandable then, chairperson, if members of the House are still getting queries within those particular areas of appeals and of PR. PR in the other categories of relative spouse and dependent. Chairperson, with regard to the issues around the foreign missions, I think BG said there we have 15. What we are trying to do is we are trying to use staff where we can find them. So we are now saying that of the 15 officials that we have in foreign missions, additionally to what they are doing, we will also ask them to do the appeals that emanate from our foreign missions. So it is loading an extra on them, but it's about looking for capacity where we can find them to assist us in this particular area. Chairperson, I think that will then answer I think the situation with regard to the permanent residents. But with the priority ones, we are doing very well. We even think, Jefferson, that we will be doing well in the other categories as well, because we are now able to turn around in 3 months, 3 to 4 months, which is half the time for our priority permits, which now gives us more time or more resources to do the other categories as well. And I expect that near the end of this financial year, we should show good progress in that area as well. Thank you, Jefferson.
But you're not performing well on staff.
Yes, that's very much health care. Honorable Chair and honorable members. Now, maybe I'm going to start with this one because it's the one that attracted most questions, 6 questions in relation to pest registration. Let me first indicate that the department have identified that as a gap, and we are currently finalizing the process of having a research. We are working together with the presidential team on the DPME side to really assess the impact of our implementation strategies and to identify what could be the citizens' challenges that make them not to register pests within 30 days. So there is that scientific research we are conducting. We're going to be conducting this financial year, and that was an advantage to secure the service provider to do that, because we needed an objective view, and we've been always having subjective reasons, whether it is religious reasons or is it traditional, cultural. So we want scientific process. So that is being done, but also, we're working with communications. We have agreed, we've got what we call the signage program to make sure that all the meetings have the signage that says register pest
within 30 days, and if there is an official there, we're saying this official will be there. So working with health and in terms of advocacy, we agreed also to use what they call Mom Connect program, which is a program that comes before they even deliver, and that will include the short prenatal classes that will be utilized. But also then, but for achieving the target this term, we wanted to test whether if we deploy staff during holidays and weekends and Sundays, does it really work? Because last quarter, we missed the target by 40,000. And those 40,000 was only based on the best that occurred. When we did analysis, all those best occurred over weekends or on holidays. And if we have captured those, our target for the financial year would have been achieved just by having that analysis. So it is clear that those are the gaps, but like Mr. Mackay said, it's not sustainable because that is just volunteering by the young people and the officials. DAJ have got what we call the youth program. So the youth of home affairs just said, let us assist, and they are going to hospital without any overtime, just to see if this thing works. So it's clear that that gap is big and we need to close it, but without the resources, and it's likely that it's going to stay as a gap. But also, and in terms of the deployment of staff, provinces did deploy staff, for example, in here in Western Cape and in Limpopo, and those provinces were able to do it because they decided to test and remove staff from offices and deploy them to almost all the offices, the hospitals where we are connected. But we have agreed that we'll also approach AHARA again to see if they cannot participate in the TPP program. AHASA are the ones who are dealing with the Netcare private hospitals, so that we bring them on board and work with them also. So did you say that must be short? I'm trying to just be as short as possible. But that is some of the plans that have been indicated. On the smart ID card, it has indicated that since the implementation of the project with the banks, we have taken 39,000 applications, of which we had concluded about 22,000 smart ID cards and passports that have been issued. So that is just with the 11, with the 12 branches. So it's clear that if we were to expand and take into account the TGF set, we will be able to overcome the problem. But we are having engagement with the bank to analyze the TPP issue, where they can maybe help us with the employment of staff or making the funds available to employ the staff. We are having concluding meetings during this month. By mid-September, we'll have a clear direction how many more banks we should be able to plug in so that we are able to roll it out. So, DJ, I think those are the based on time. Let me stop there.
Thank you, Chief. Chairperson, my question is in response to Mrs. Honourable Maliti. On the feasibility study, the intention is to submit the feasibility study to National Treasury at the end of the financial year. So our target is to have the feasibility study ready at the end of the financial year. The target, the quarterly target set out in the document is just to get us to make sure that we're in a position to submit this feasibility study. And should the feasibility study then and the financial model then indicate that we are in a position to continue, we should have we should be in a position to go to the market in 17-18 to procure that kind of service. And Oswald, maybe your questions on households, I take note of that. We come here every year and say we overspend on households, and it's a historic thing, so we better fix it. So let me commit to make sure that there's an adequate allocation for a budget allocation for households. On status services, the projected the allocation, the self-financing allocation for status services, 460 million rand in the current financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and he's actually tried to perform on time, and I think it is fine. He's applauded, and yes, we just lost the time during the time of Maday. I think that he decided to take all time. And I think I just want to say, when one looks at the quarter report or the first quarter, there are certain items that you are close to about 50% of trend. And we don't know the details, but all that one wants to say is monitor that certain directorates don't spend all their money halfway there and have nothing to fund their activities towards the end of the year. If we could just simply put the hawk's eye or something like that on the spending of the departments and the provinces. But the provinces, it looks like they were around 25%. But internally, there are areas where I've seen that we're around 49%, 50%, but being the first order. So it may be a sign of ill discipline in financial management, or maybe it's a deliberate over expenditure because of certain pressure. But let us just monitor that. That does not create problems of a certain directorate running out of funds before the end of the year. And I think we just need to applaud you. We will try and find a way how we are going to communicate ourselves from the committee to the treasury. I think we'll copy you the letter that we will make a little bit of noise about that directive, which is non-considerate of what is now expected of you. And what we have been trying now to extract, especially the immigration inspectors and whatever, that we have been trying to increase the numbers. Then this is now the reverse of this tendency. And it's very problematic. And then the other thing is that we still want to really pressure you to really found interim solutions to the registration of them within 30 days. Just like as Honorable Hussein has said, in one way or another, is keeping the late registration of death alive. And whereas we are actually tightening the screws on that one, that we don't want to issue easy, but we are creating the problem on our own again. And, so it is contradictory, and we must just find some sort of interim solution to it, while you are waiting for an ultimate solution to the problem. And of course, it's, overall, of course, we are happy. Overall, we are happy. And then, of course, is that you must get 100% of your target and strive for 100% of your target. If it's possible, 101%, and then it should make everybody. But then is that those targets, like as I've said, that we are heading. Achievement of those targets must be qualitative as well. I think I've communicated correctly. Thank you very much. I think we need to thank all of you for having come and visit us and responding to the questions that we have put to you, even though that we have got time pressure. But I think we have done the rest of what we wanted to do today. And when you go home, please try and prepare for the 13th of September as well. And then we don't want disturbances, we don't want delays, we don't want frustrations. And all those other fighters, make sure that the tasks are removed from their hands. And then within bilaterals and the rest, and make sure that there's no fight on that day. And then we move smoothly. Thanks again, and I think you are released. Honorable members, we are not done. I think we must just look at the annual operational plan. Only.
No. My number is 10. Okay, cool. I'll talk to my community.
You.
Thank you very much.
Okay.